Thanks for downloading the Everyday Relationships podcast. You can visit us at everydayrelationships.com. Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We're thrilled that you've joined us. We are here every day to help you live out the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. So today, we're really focusing on the how do we love others, because Susie, wedding season is almost upon us. Mm-hmm. Can you hear the rice falling everywhere as it's being chucked?
Absolutely.
At the bride and the groom,
yep.
And all the songs and smell,
yep.
It. It's in the air. You know, today we're actually going to talk about the secret to blending two lives into one home.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to answer the question, how to keep the newlywed bliss going strong after the honeymoon. So now listen, so whether you're newly married, maybe a mother of the bride, or you know someone who's just tied the knot, I tell you, you're going to love today's show. Now, Susie, you know, what as you look back, you've been both a bride, okay? Many years ago, you've been married to Kevin.
Thanks for that, many.
Well, I meant many, like,
and
that's really cool.
You weren't going to say many.
Well, I was excited for you. It's like a medal. If I had a medal,
right.
I would have given it to you. You've been married for a short amount of time, 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yep.
Like in... I was going to say dog years.
That'd
probably be a little
bit
more.
Now.
But as a new bride, okay, and as also with your sons getting married,
mm-hmm.
So as a mother of the groom, I'm sure they've sought out wise counsel from you and Kevin. But what are some of the things you've learned? What's the secret? What's someone who's kind of in that newly married season, what can they do?
Well, to borrow something that you've said that I think is just powerful is to turn towards each other. Because when you're dating, you're facing each other. When you're pursuing marriage, you're facing each other. And then you get married and you face out and you get on your track and you start to do your thing. And if you forget to turn towards each other, you lose sight of what brought you together in the first place. And so I think turning towards each other is so powerful. And you know, and this show isn't just for newlyweds or family members who have someone who's about to get married.
Right.
Because you notice how you go to a wedding, you've been married 10, 15, 20 years, and you're reminded again of what's important. So hopefully this will be a reminder again of what's important, even if you've been married a long time. But, you know, if my sons, I have two married, one just got engaged, my third and
wow.
final son about to get married. But
we should get him on the show.
Yeah, we should. That'd be fun. But, you know, really learning to give them space, time and space to just get their lives together and to be settled as a couple. And that's actually a delight to do, and it's fun to watch them figure it all out. But another thing, Greg, that I think is so powerful about keeping the bliss alive is to pause and remember that you have a history together, these landmark moments. And I have to tell you, you know, Kevin and I had dinner at your house last night. And we were so impacted by a landmark moment that I don't think you'll ever forget, but I got to tell you, we'll never forget it. I mean, I'm on the other side of your kitchen with my iPhone taking pictures of your family, having this moment. And Kevin and I were fighting back the tears because I thought, this is one of those defining factors of why two people get married to begin with, to have a story. So tell us what happened last night.
Yeah, it was amazing. Our youngest daughter, so we have four kids, so our youngest daughter, Annie, we adopted from China. We've kind of shared that story before. But for 3 years, I mean, we got her right before, a couple of weeks before she turned three. So basically for 3 years, she was raised by a nanny. Mm-hmm. Her name was Rose in China. And so, you know, every once in a while, Annie will just come in tears and just say, yeah, I was thinking about Mama Rose. We call her that to honor just the who this person was in Annie's life. And she'll say, I just miss her. You know, I wish I could talk to her. And so finally, Aaron got a hold of the orphanage in China and set up a Skype call. And so it was the most amazing thing. Just, you know, I had Annie right there with me and just to watch her just begin to talk to her nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at first I wasn't sure how this was going to go. We didn't, you know, is this a good idea or not? I mean, we didn't know, but we just trusted the Lord. And, wow, you know, remember the first thing that Andy said is she whispers in my ear, she looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And which I tried to explain, you don't ever tell a woman that she looks different. But she does speak only Chinese, so I don't think she heard that part.
You know what stuck out to me, Greg, about that, though? I remember in the story that when you first got Annie, she ran away when she saw you because she was so identified with Mama Rose,
right?
But I watched as she nestled into your chest and she kept saying, Daddy, Daddy, and Mommy, Mommy. And suddenly she was shrinking back a little bit because it took her a little bit to get used to this idea of Mama Rose. But the identity had shifted for her. You were her daddy. Aaron's her mommy, and that was her safe place. But eventually, it became safe, and there was something about her heart that recognized this part of her story.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
it was
cool.
And then to see is Mama Rose, you know, through an interpreter, just to speak into Annie. I mean, is her dad? You know, I know Aaron is her mom. Just sitting there watching this woman who cared for her, just gave her life to our daughter. You know, then had to let her go, but she said, Annie, you're so beautiful, and I'm so happy for you, so love you, and just speaking words of a blessing, you know, just seeing Annie just light up and smile and kind of you know, lean in to hug on us. It was, I tell you, I will never forget that.
And here again, is this story has been had twists and turns and highs and lows. It's not been this smooth sailing, easy story. I mean, what you went through to get her and against, you know, other people's belief that this would ever happen. But isn't that a picture? When we first get married, we have this pie in the sky idea sometimes of what the story is going to look like. But there are chapters that sometimes you'd rather rewrite. But that's what makes those landmark moments so sweet. And so, and I even think the bliss that happens in these times is so much greater than the wedded bliss that you kind of first experience at the beginning. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, as it says in Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and then be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so that's a big part of what we're talking about today is how do we, what does that mean?
Yeah.
How do you live out that verse? How do we become one and kind of go from this wedding bliss to just the realities of life and some of the challenges that we'll encounter? But really that's what we want to talk about is how do we do that well? So if you know someone who's been through this, maybe you're a newlywed, again, we're excited to talk about this, but you know, here we always invite you into this conversation. So, you know, if you've been married or about to get married, or whatever, you know, what is one piece of advice? So think about this. So for all of us who've been married, you know, what would you, as you look back on that season, what is one thing, one piece of advice that you would give to a newly married couple to really keep their marriage strong?
We'd sure love to hear from you. 855, the number 2, the word relate, 855-273-5283. And Greg, you know, I asked the same question on my Facebook just because I was curious what people would say. What advice do you have for the couple about to get married? Ruth says communication is vital. Helen says serve one another. Be mindful about the other person's needs. And this other gal said it doesn't hurt to shave your legs. I think she's talking to the woman.
I was thinking, well, I don't really do that, but I could.
Yeah, if you want to improve your marriage.
Has Aaron said something to you?
Yeah, right.
Can you have the bear, and the polar bear, shave his legs?
Young Jake says, I may not be married, but I do know this. Continue to go on dates, he says. Good
young
advice.
Jake.
Mm-hmm.
So is this like a...
This is not my son. This is a young man that my husband has actually mentored, and he comes from a divorced home, and he's trying so hard to grow up in the Lord. And interesting that he would say that.
Yeah. Tell you that, and we'll talk about that later, really, how to do that, because I'm convinced that for a lot of newlywed couples, they get into some habits around their dates that really, really become destructive, believe it or not. Because it's such a good thing, and we need to use that as a good thing. You know, I'll never forget, as we're talking about, what is one piece of advice? So the first wedding that I ever was asked to kind of do the ceremony, I was trying to be all clever and creative. And so
which you are most of the time.
Usually not, but thank you though. I appreciate that. You know, I asked the bride ahead of time, what kind of flowers are you going to have? And so she rambled off some. I'm like, okay, whatever. But I wrote it down and then went and found the seeds to this whatever flower she was going to have. Because I wanted to make this really cool analogy. And the analogy was I wanted to hold up her bouquet for everybody to see and then to say, so this is the marriage that they dream of having. So this is the goal. This is the end in mind. But they're not there. I mean, I know that everything looks great. She's beautiful. But, you know, the reality is I held up the seed package and said, here's where they're starting off. So what do they need to do to get from those seeds into that beautiful bouquet? And I thought I was being all clever. And so I know nothing about gardening. That's part of the problem. And so I wanted to teach four principles and relay them to four, like, gardening principles.
Without knowing anything about gardening.
Sunlight was one, you know, water was the other. And I quickly ran out of analogies. And I ended up saying something that probably is one of the most embarrassing moments of my life, and I didn't even realize it. Mm. I still think it's great advice. I'm going to tell you what the advice is, but I need a moment to kind of gather myself. It was that embarrassing.
I actually know what he said, and you're not going to believe it.
It was accidental, I promise.
There is some truth to it, though, when you think about it.
They'll find out.
They will. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking about a very important topic today, how to keep that wedded bliss after the honeymoon, even well into your marriage. Maybe you've got some advice for somebody who's about to get married. We'd love to hear from you. 855-273-5283. 855-273-5283. Join the conversation. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome to Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we're talking today about how to keep the wedded bliss going long after the honeymoon. So whether you're about to get married, you're newly married, you've been married as long as Greg, we have advice today, right, to help you keep the bliss. In fact,
compared to you,
you've been married 21 years, yes. But you say you've had more happy years. You said that, remember?
I have
in
never
a very
said
important
that.
Meeting when
lies.
I said, well, anyway, I think you between
your
us,
your name is liar.
You'd believe
lies.
Me. So before the break, you were talking about here. You are, you're marrying a young couple. You've got flowers and the seeds, and you're doing this gardening analogy of. This is what you're going for in the bouquet, but right now you have seeds. And so without knowing anything about gardening, you decided to use this as an analogy, right?
Yes, and I very quickly ran out of things to compare, you know.
Water,
communications
sun.
Like sunlight, you know, this is like water. And so my last point was just spending time, like that young boy you talked about, that mm-hmm. date night, just spending time together. It's so important. And so the only thing I could think of that I had left was – fertilizer. So I looked at the groom and I said, and the research, by the way, says that that you need to spend at least 20 minutes is the difference between unhealthy and unsatisfied couples and happily married people, 20 minutes a day doing things together. And so I looked at the groom and I said, so you need to spend at least 20 minutes fertilizing her every day. And the whole place started laughing.
And you didn't laugh yet?
No, I couldn't figure out why. And I thought, wow, I am so funny. I'm good. I don't even know. I don't even know why they're laughing. I'm that good. And so it sort of egged me on.
Right.
You know, and I went, and so you, and I pointed the bride, you need to spend at least 20 minutes. As a matter of fact, you need to spend 30 minutes a day fertilizing him. And the place is just roaring with laughter. And I'm literally going, And so the groom sees that I'm like clueless, and he goes, hey. If you get on with it, I'd like to start the fertilizing. I went, oh, no.
I didn't know that
horrible?
Part of the story. That's awesome.
So
anyway, so now, fertilizing is something you can do to keep the wedding bliss.
If it's 20 minutes
on.
Or more.
Okay.
So, but that's to see. So that was the best advice that I have, which is really why I need you to call in
exactly.
today.
Help us out.
Let's not just end with that.
I'm sure you've got better advice than fertilize your mate. And so help us out here, right? 855-273-5283.
We can use
definitely,
it.
We need to move this this ship on, right?
We do. You know, yeah. I think, though, if we're talking about how to keep the marital, the wedded bliss alive, you know, so this couple gets married and suppose, you know, thinking that they had a better priest or pastor than me, you know, that they probably had better advice. But I think the place that this has to begin with, though, remember, we talked about the verse, you know, becoming the two shall become one flesh. So what does oneness then really look like? And it's got to start with that whole idea of leaving and cleaving. And I don't remember anybody, though, really explaining to me what that was. I don't know if I knew how to do that. And I think looking back, some of the things that I've learned is that in terms of leaving, think of it this way. Think about the greatest commandment that we talk about at the start of each show. That love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So your emotions, your spiritual part of who you are, your mind, your body. I think leaving, you have to think about in each of those important parts, how am I beginning to separate from my family, from friends, from past relationships, from maybe baggage that I've brought into the relationship. You really need to be intentional, thinking about how does that look? How am I with all of who I am? You know, now, you know, leaving family and all that in moving towards my spouse. And again, no one shared that for me. What would that look like for you guys?
Well, you know, we came from two very different family styles in the way that we communicated, even spiritually speaking. And so we felt like trailblazers in a really big way. And so his family, very sweet, evangelical family, you know, keep the peace. In my family, I grew up Catholic, and everybody would confront each other. And so he would be at a family gathering.
And fought with passion.
You'd think we're from, you know, from New Jersey or something, because you'd hear a brother or sister going, what do you mean by that? Well, I just said, yeah, you're talking to me. Yeah. But then they'd be back at it playing ping pong, laughing. And he's like, I love this, you know, because he was so used to things maybe not being dealt with.
Yes, swept under the rug.
Right, right. And so we both come from different, we love our families, but there were things we had to pull that were strengths and other habits maybe and systems that we had to develop on our own. But it was so important to do that. And Greg, I remember reading or hearing you say this, that it's especially important for the male, right? If he doesn't leave correctly, that has a bigger impact, right?
It does. All the research that I've seen really says that the onus is on the male. His ability to separate from his parents will dictate really how they begin to form their new marriage and the satisfaction, all that. I mean, that's remarkable. And I tell you what, and for me, that was so true. But no one, though, ever sat me down and said, so Greg, how are you separating from your family spiritually?
Wow.
You know, because my parents just, you know, in the
especially
line of work
with you,
and
you've got this family ministry, I can imagine that was quite difficult.
Yeah, and I relied on them, and good. I mean, they had such good things to say, but it really made it challenging. So spiritually, how are we doing that? Emotionally, you know, for a lot of people, they're so used to picking up the phone to talk to mom or to talk to dad. And there's got to be a shift. Instead of going first to my family, or maybe not at all at that point, you know, how does that look to really connect with Aaron emotionally? You know, what does it look like physically? You know, some live so close to family, it's easy to pop in and to keep those close relationships, or maybe it's with a friend, you know, a roommate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've got to really think that through. I think one of the greatest discussions that newly married couple can ever have is to go through those and make a plan. How are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And then how are we going to tell people that we're sort of, you know, I love in the Old Testament where it talks about, I don't know the chapter in the, you know, in the verse, but basically what it's saying is it's talking about, you know, when a man gets married, he is not to go to war for a year. Mm. He is to stay home to please his wife. And I think the value, the lesson there is that we almost need to take a, what we call leave of absence. We talked about this, Aaron and I wrote a book called Before You Plan Your Wedding, Plan Your Marriage, because so many couples, as they get engaged, they're thinking and only about that day versus, okay, once Pat's there, you got a lot of days to figure out how to live together. And so, but we really encourage this idea of a leave of absence from parents, from close friends, family.
How do you do that practically?
Yeah.
What does that
look
like? You
just get in a car and drive, just wherever. When you run out of gas, there you go. You know, I think it's the value of maybe sitting down with a premarital counselor, your pastor, you know, just a mentor couple. I know that you and Kevin, I always forget to say this to you, but I'm telling you, one of the most, what you share that so impresses me is how you and Kevin still have a mentor couple speaking into your life. And I think that's amazing. So I think that kind of conversation can start with a mentor couple.
Yeah.
You know, what would that look like? Because see, though there's a part of it though that we need to talk about. Because there's a way to do that that'll work. I think there's a way that will really make it challenging for
your
relationships.
It seems like you can do it with honor. And I think that's what I want to hear you talk about. Well, this is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking about how to keep the wedded bliss alive well after the honeymoon. We've got some great Focus on the Family resources on this topic. The Best Advice I Ever Got on Marriage, that's Jim Daly's book. And you heard Greg and Aaron's book mentioned as well. We'd love to have you chime into the conversation. We know you've got some great advice for us as well. 855 573-5283. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome back to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family. I'm Greg Smalley along with Susie Larson. We are here every day, except the weekends, just saying,
true,
to have real conversations about relationships. And today we're talking about how do we keep kind of that wedded, newly married bliss going? How do we become one? We are told in the scriptures for a man has to leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. What does that really look like? You know, it's a great question. We received some amazing emails, so appreciate you guys just emailing questions and comments. Here's a good one we received at focusonthefamily.com. My fiance and I have been engaged for a year and are planning on getting married this fall. Congratulations. We have received a lot of advice about marriage and have done some counseling. However, I still feel unprepared as to how I can be the best husband. What can I do to feel more confident about entering into this new role? How can I be the best husband?
Good
I love
man.
It.
Good man.
There we
man.
Go. See, this we need more men stepping up, asking how do we do that? Because this one, it doesn't come natural for men. Did you know that? Like that women might be a little better at relationships than
you know,
men?
I'll just let you keep talking.
Okay. I was wondering. Okay. I didn't say that was actually true.
Well, you know,
true.
I think we all have our strengths. And so this you might not come upon this instinctively and naturally. How about that?
But I love his passion, though, to learn how to do that. Because, one, I think that we can keep learning, keep growing as husbands on how to really do this thing called marriage.
Excellent. Well, you know, before the break, we were talking about the leaving and cleaving, and you were even talking about the leave of absence for a year. I love the whole idea of being able to kind of focus in on your relationship with the Lord and with each other and what that looks like to leave and cleave emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally. But I'm thinking that could really be done wrong and hurt some relationships. So that was my question to you before the break. And how do you do that with honor? And what does that look like on a practical level? Do you just sort of go out of sight, kind of, you know, kind of MIA, or how do you do that?
You know, it's actually this husband-to-be is asking for, you know, how can I do this? And this is exactly what I would say to him, is that as the leader of your family, as a young leader, the greatest thing you can do is to take a leave of absence with your bride and really get to know her, form your own traditions. I mean, start to do these things. But I think the best way to set this up is literally to have this conversation after you guys talk about what does this mean. Actually go to both sets of parents first and just say, you know what, one of the things that we're really going to do when we get married is we're really going to pour into a lot of our efforts and energies and time into each other, just learning how to be a husband and wife. If you feel distance, if you feel like we're being disconnected from you, don't worry. We're actually being very intentional. Like you're setting up the right expectation with your in-laws, your parents, to just to say, don't take that personally. Now, I don't know one parent who's going to say, well, that is unacceptable. Mm. We will be over at your house next Friday.
Right.
You know, well, they might do that, but you're more likely to keep that from happening if you set up those expectations. But I think it's also important, maybe you have a close relationship with a sibling, a good friend, you know, a neighbor. I mean, let people in your life know that in this first season, you know, this won't last forever. It's just we're talking a season. You know, we're just going to really pour into each other. Don't take that personally.
Okay, so I've seen like young couples who've met at church. They're involved in the singles ministry, playing on the worship team. They're involved in multiple ways, and they get married and they stay involved. But you can tell that they're again running parallel paths. And so this might be a good idea for them to communicate, saying we're going to focus on each other. But Greg, I also see the other extreme where they don't go to church. They pull out completely in the name of we're focusing on each other. So maybe strike a balance of church involvement.
That's
because
clever.
You really do
I
need.
I didn't ever think of that.
Really?
Wow. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Lucky for me.
Yeah.
What I would say, like to your one extreme, and for the couple that stays plugged into the roles and things they're doing, I would tell that couple, take a break. Mm. You don't need to be part of the worship team for a season. But you need to be in church. I mean, if you, because what you're trying to do is set up your own traditions. Who are we? You're trying to define that us. Who are
and
we?
Spirituality,
what are we
has
about?
To be part of that, your faith life.
I mean, you can't have a strong marriage without that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to build upon commitment. What does that look? I think, you know, for a young couple, I think one of the best ways you can begin to solidify your commitment to each other is to dream. What's this next year going to look like? Past this first year, if it was successful, what would have happened? 5 years, 10 years, dreaming together. What an opportunity! Got to have time though to do that.
That's right. That's something we must never stop doing. Right? Wow, good conversation. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. As you can hear, we're talking about how to keep the wedded bliss going long after the honeymoon. We'd love your input as well. Why don't you give us a call? We've got a little bit more time to take some calls, and you're kind of quiet today. We'd love to hear from you, 855-273-5283, 855-273-5283. When we come back, we'll just give some more practical advice on how to keep this love alive. Back in a moment. Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we're talking today about how to keep the wedded bliss alive well after the honeymoon.
It is possible.
That's what we're saying. And we have just a few minutes left to take some calls, so we'd absolutely love to hear from you. What's the best marriage advice you can give to somebody about to get married or newly married? 855-273-5283. Again, 855-273-5283. And we've got a call. Colleen is calling from Eagle Point, Oregon. Welcome, Colleen.
Hi.
Hey, Colleen, what's on your mind? Do you have some advice for those couples who are about to get married?
Yeah. I was telling you earlier that my husband and I, we've been married for 22 and a half years now, and we're still working on it.
Congratulations.
We have three children, 20, 18, and 16. And anyways, we were married in the Roman Catholic Church, and our deacon who married us, they have like 8 children, 24 grandchildren, right? So I figure he has some good advice. And while we're at the altar, he said to us, now remember, you two were husband and wife before those children came. And he said that, you know, while we were, you know, we didn't have any children yet, but I'm like, oh, he knows what he's talking about. We didn't. And sure enough, and we held on to that. And when tough times came, let me tell you, there's times when we weren't really, you know, one was wavering the other, but we remembered that part because it's so easy for the children to tear you in one direction or the other. And when their children are raised and gone, there's just the two of you. And you want that oneness relationship. You really got to work hard that you are one. And it's because of your love, you know, God's love for us, our love back for him and our children as well, that oneness is that relationship. And so being united and make every effort to be at peace with each other. So that was good advice. We are husband and wife first before we were parents. And it's hard, but it's good for the, children. So they kind of like, I don't like that, but you know, too bad.
It is. It's great. And yeah. I mean, Colleen, to your point, I mean, our kids want our attention. They're going to fight for that attention. They're going to demand that attention. And yet it's a part of our job as mom and dad is to train them up to be successful in their relationships, their marriage someday. And they need to understand that from the get-go how important their relationship is.
Yeah, even though they want that attention, I think they feel way more secure when they know we're solid as parents. And
yeah.
So I think that intentionality is so important. Greg, we got an email into Focus on the Family, and I really appreciated this honest email. He says, I've been married for 3 months. I have made multiple mistakes during this time, such as lying and being selfish. My wife gets so upset, I don't know how to change and be a better husband. Boy, you can feel the heartbreak in that email. But I love his honesty. What advice do you have?
Yeah. You know, I think as we're talking about leaving and cleaving, okay, a part of what we're leaving is also the baggage that we're bringing in. We all are bringing in lots of things into that relationship. And I think one of the best things we can do is get that premarital counseling and talk about those things. So for this young husband, You know, there's things that he obviously that he's brought in that maybe he hadn't dealt with before, maybe he was unaware about. You know, whatever's going on causing him to lie, causing him to be selfish. And so I think for him, what he wants to do is be the leader, step up, say, you know what, I'm blowing it. I don't really know what's going on, but I love you enough. I love our marriage enough. Let's go get help. I'll deal with this. I'm going to go to counseling. You know, and that's one of the things I love about Focus on the Families that you can call 800-A-FAMILY anytime. Talk to one of our counselors. We can get you a counselor in your area. And so that conversation though with one of our counselors, free.
That's a great idea. Yeah, no kidding. And when you think about Christlikeness, that has to happen for marriage to get stronger, doesn't it? Almost like one of the best pieces of advice you could give a young couple is be prepared to be shaped into the image of Christ through hardship, through dying to yourself. And you don't hear enough about that either, about get ready, because some of your stuff is going to be confronted by living with just another person. And so maybe say a word about just the process of becoming Christ-like and really leaning into that.
Yeah, you know, in Ephesians 5, of course, we've got the big topic on marriage and submission. And, you know, what I love about that passage, that if you break it down into number of words, that 70% of the words are talking to the guy. And so we get really caught up on the submission part. But the part, though, for him is, what does that look like to love my wife as Christ loved the church? What did Christ do? He died for the church. And what does that mean, dying to myself? And again, that's when a mentor, another couple friend, you know, the thing that we see a lot with couples. So I think you're trying to move that first season when you're together, you want to be really alone, you know, not exclusively, but I'm saying that's your kind of your leave of absence. But then slowly as you come out of that, you've got to build in that support system in a mentor couple, older couples, those at your church. I mean, it can be such an amazing resource to begin to help. What does that mean as a husband to die to myself? Mm-hmm. That selflessness. Christ came not to be served, but to serve. What does that look like? We had a guest on. I can't even remember my name half the time, so I don't know who it was. But she was saying that one of the traits that she looked for in a husband, she encourages other women to look for this, is that the man is willing to be inconvenienced for her.
I think that might have been Lisa Anderson from Focus on the Family here, but I think that's a great word. Watching and observing, is he somebody that can do that?
Yeah, because it really convicted me, because I started thinking about my own marriage, and there's so many times that I would die for my wife. I'd take a bullet for her. You know, I mean, there's so many big ways that I think about, but just that little bit of, am I willing to be inconvenienced? And I've loved that word, and I have a small group. We meet Thursday mornings. I challenge the guys, what does that look like? How have you been inconvenienced purposefully this week for your wife? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's a big part of it.
It is. And to me, again, that's a picture of turning towards each other, isn't it? Because once you get married, you can just focus on the task list ahead of you and you miss each other. So turning towards each other is, what can I do for you today, even if it inconveniences me?
Yeah.
Both ways.
Because, you know, when you get married, there's so much that's going to change. The biggest threat to that oneness is just the simple fact that we're dealing with so much change, and so many couples get busy and they get into the routines of life that they quit being intentional. And so I think, you know, let's end on this note here in a moment back from break. Let's talk about a couple ways that we can really be intentional to stay strong as a couple.
So good. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Had a great conversation today about how to keep that wedded bliss alive well after the marriage. So when we come back for the wrap, Greg will give some tangible tips that you can take away and apply today that anybody who's been married any length of time really can, because we all need to be intentional. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we've been talking today about great advice for newly married couples, but also advice that you can take on well into marriage to keeping that wedded bliss alive. In fact, on our daily broadcast here on Focus on the Family, about a month ago, we had aired a show titled Listeners Sharing Their Best Advice on Marriage, and many listeners shared with John Fuller and Jim Daly, and so we're going to put a link on that on our Facebook page.
Great show.
Everyday Relationships Radio. Greg, before the break, you were talking about the importance of intentionality, and that's not just for newly marrieds, but for all of us. So say more about that and how we can all be intentional, why that's so important to keep love alive in marriage.
You know, for newlywed couples, there's so much change that happens. I think that's what throws them for a loop, and it's very easy to then to get sucked into the daily grind, the busy, and as a matter of fact, when I asked, we asked probably 2,000, my wife and I, over the course of a year, we asked about 2,000 couples, what is that one advice you'd give? The number one answer that we found was spend time together, but asking each other questions, keeping current, you know, because so much has changed. So here, you've spent all this time pursuing, wooing one another. You've asked a lot of questions. And the temptation is, well, now that we're married, I mean, we kind of know all that stuff. Oh, that is such a myth. Don't buy into that. It's so important that we keep talking, spending time together, asking questions, staying current. You know, we talked about the verse, you know, that the two shall become one. So that oneness starts as we leave. We take that leave of absence to really develop who we are, you know, define us. And what are our traditions and how are we handling things? How do we set up our new home together? I mean, all that. Such a fun season. You know, and then the cleaving part is, I think that's where we're trying to identify what are the key things for us that's going to keep our marriage strong. And some of the things, like just a simple date night. Remember our caller, Colleen, talked about just the importance of couples, young or old, you know, maintaining that dating relationship. Well, I tell you, the thing that messes that up for so many couples is that they go on a date finally, and then they administrate their marriage. They talk about the budget. They talk about the kids. They talk about these things, that business meeting. Like, we need to have those. Don't call that a date. That is not a date. A date is when we're out to have fun, to laugh, to talk to each other, to ask questions, to stay current. That is so important. And seeing that flies in the face of logic, because you think of this new couple and you just assume they're doing that. They're not. And that's why that you see the largest decrease in marriage satisfaction just into that new part of their relationship, because they lose focus. That's why you started the show off by talking about turning towards each other. That's an intentionality of making sure that we're pursuing each other, asking questions, finding out, discovering love languages, and all that. Aaron and I talk about this in our book, Before You Plan Your Wedding, Plan Your Marriage. And we've got some other great resources at FocusOnTheFamily.com.
I told you this would be more for than just new married couples. This is advice we can all apply. Thanks for tuning in today to Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to talk about how to rebuild a relationship after trust has been broken. Aaron Smalley will join us again in studio to offer some help for repairing broken relationships. We're so honored to do this journey with you. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll meet you back here tomorrow.